Hallelujah. There are people all over the country that are joining their faith to ours. One of the reasons that I'm being intentional to talk about this to the extent that I'm talking about it is because God has intended for this to be a faith builder for you personally and for us corporately. I don't know how to communicate. I'm trying to figure out every way I can communicate it. Let me say it like that. Because we all hear the stories of faith and people sharing their journey of faith and how God moved, and it stirs something in us, but it doesn't necessarily produce anything in us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever you read a testimony or a really good book, and it stirs you on the inside, but nothing really changed? Can I tell you, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that. But what I've found to be the reality is, once it has stirred me, I have to be the one to move to action. I have to be the one that if there's something to apply, I apply it. If there's something for me to get out of it, I press in to get that. So over the last few weeks, we've been in a certain place of concerning our message. And somebody just said, what have we been talking about the last couple of weeks? What have we been talking about? What have we been talking about? Perseverance. If you happen to be visiting with us, we've been talking about perseverance. We started out talking about Nehemiah, lessons in perseverance. Then I talked about the power of perseverance. In a moment, I'm going to talk a little bit about the power of unified perseverance. But then the question that needs to be posed is, having talked about it, what has it changed for you? Having talked about it, has it changed anything for you? This past week, I sent an email out to everybody, and I'm updating you. And the reason why I'm updating you in real time, say real time. Yeah, this is living faith in real time. Okay, living faith in real time. And what I mean by that is sometimes you hear about it after the fact. But I'm updating in real time. And the reason why is there's a lesson to be learned and there's a blessing and an opportunity to grow if you will participate in this faith moment in real time. In real time. Meaning, you know, I could tell you after the fact what God did. But I'm going to tell you in real time what we need him to do. So I sent to you the email and I said, I shared with where we were at. And I said, okay, we're planning to close on the 31st, December 31st, which tomorrow will be 1 week. And we're still planning to close on that date. And I said, and we still need $40,000, $50,000 to come in. What did I say? 40. And so I said, $40,000. The amazing thing about this journey of faith is it really does work. It really does work. But one of the keys that we have not really understood is what I believe is this dynamic of perseverance. Of perseverance. Now, I know over the last couple of weeks, you've heard a couple of messages, and Pastor Jamal and Pastor Arnold both did a wonderful job in communicating. And and I don't know that we will continue with this message beyond next week, if next week at all. But what's happening is, in this place of perseverance, and I believe Pastor Arnold may have shared this definition, and maybe Pastor Jamal, but this is what it says concerning perseverance. It's a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. It's a steady persistence in a course of action, a purpose, a state, especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. And I can't say it enough, church. I can't say it enough that some of what you're believing for, yet to see, haven't seen, has to do with your ability to persevere and to stay with it, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it until God's word brings it to pass. I'm looking out at some of you, and I've had conversations with you, so I know the dreams you have, the visions you have, the business you want to do, all those kind of things. Some of those things have come to fruition. Some of those things have not. Some of it's about timing, the right time. But other things just kind of can get lost in life. Get lost in life. It can be family situations that come up. It can be some marital situations. It could be the kids. It could be parents. It could be a number of things that come up. It could be financial. And one of the biggest hurdles and challenges for many when it comes to fulfilling things that God has called us to do is when we get the final tally, so to speak, it can be daunting and it can cause us to relent. It can cause us to back up. But this is where, hear me now, this is where unified perseverance comes into play. Because there's a part for you to do in your personal life. And there's a part that we can do collectively. It's in Luke chapter 8, I'm reading now, probably around verse 15. Now let me go back up and just read through it real quickly here. It says, now the parable is this. Now it's the parable of the seed, the sower of the seed. It says, those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes immediately and takes away the word from their hearts so that they will not believe and be saved. So the devil does play some role sometimes. Some role, sometimes. But everything is not the devil. Some of it is lack of discipline. Some of it is simply not persevering. Okay? This is those on the, this says those on the rocky soil. Now listen to this. They are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. So that's pretty much most of us, or not all of us. We receive the word with joy. But this isn't the place where you want to be. It says, and these have no firm root, for they believe for a while. And in the time of temptation, or we could say testing, they fall away. Then there's the seed that fell among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Now make this statement. They had fruit. Come on, say it. They had fruit, but did not bring it to maturity. You have fruit. The question, though, is it coming to maturity? Has it come to maturity? Is there any fruit that you can point to? Is there any life you can point to and recognize, I had a part in that. I had a part in this. Then lastly, it says this, but the seed in good soil, These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold fast. And hold fast. They don't let go. They hold on to it. They hold on to what they have heard, believed, received. And it says this, and bear fruit with perseverance. With perseverance. So, I'm still talking about two, living faith in real time. We're living faith in real time, John. We're walking this out, and we're watching God unfold his word all around us. We're living faith in real time. And I'm able to share with you things to help you recognize how God is moving in hopes that it stirs you to continue to persevere in what God has purposed to do in you and through you. All that God ever accomplishes has some element of perseverance in it. Some dynamic of the need to persevere. I know this is the Christmas season, so I'll tie in the birth of Jesus. So you don't leave. He didn't even talk about Jesus. He didn't even talk about. If you happen to be watching, I'm talking about Jesus and all of this. Okay. Think about it for a moment. The level of perseverance, Mary. And Joseph had to have. Joseph had to be a devout man. First, just to accept what was being said. But then secondly, now he's got a wife who's pregnant and got to go out of town. This isn't a jump in the car, go out of town. This isn't get on the plane, go out of town. This is put her on a donkey and start walking. And all of their perseverance led to the fulfilling of a word spoken concerning the birth of Jesus. But it wasn't just them getting to Bethlehem, because if you remember, once he was born, then they had to move again. And then once they got there, they had to move again. Come on, say perseverance. Continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, opposition. Steady persistence in a course of action, a purpose, a state, especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, and discouragement. Now, the second passage of scripture that I've focused on that's key in what I'm talking about here today and the power of unified perseverance is that passage in Romans, the 15th chapter. It says this, and I'm reading starting at verse 1. It says, now, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. That means once you've grown, once you've matured in an area, you have the opportunity to help someone else. Each of us is to please our neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Then it says this, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind. Listen now, here, listen to this. Same mind with one another. Same mind with one another. Same mind with one another according to Christ, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Same mind with one another. Persevering together. While Pastor Maurice and I were away, I found myself in the mornings listening to a couple of things, pieces, just my own devotional kind of meditative time. And In this journey, not unlike other journeys, I've learned to ask questions. Simple question. The one that I've taught you is, Father, what are you requiring of me in light of what I now know? I woke up one morning and that was the question that was in my mind. All I heard from God was this. He said, be steadfast, unmovable. That's all he said. He just said, be steadfast, unmovable. Now, I know the scripture, but that's why you need to know the scriptures. Because sometimes God's trying to say something to you, but if there's nothing for him to work with, he said, be steadfast, unmovable. Be steadfast, unmovable. And so that morning, I received a phone call. And the phone call was from my pastor, who I had reached out to the week before just to help him to know, this is where we're at. This is what we need to come in. This is what we're believing for. And we talked for a few minutes, and he said, "How you know, there's different ways we can kind of approach this. I'll reach out to some of our team in reconciliation and get back with you." And I told him, I said, we still have pledges that are coming in, and so any help we can get, you know, would be greatly appreciated to reach our goal. And from that conversation to yesterday, we've had an additional $12,000 pledged to come in. At least. That's from people around the country. We were at the airport flying back, and a couple called me and said, hey, we love you, man. We're going to send you $1,000. We're going to overnight it to you. Because, hear me, thank you. The thing that Bishop said, I'm thanking you for your enthusiasm, okay? The thing that Bishop said in his writing to the group, he said, I believe we can help them get across the finish line. Get across the finish line. The scriptures make it clear when it says to run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, one of the challenges, you all have seen the races. Many of you ran track. You ever notice how they run? I'm talking about particularly the shorter races, like the 220s, the 100-yard dash. How many of y'all ran track? Let me see your hands. How many of y'all wanted to run track? You can raise your hand, too. Okay. How many of you ran track in your dreams? Okay. You notice, though, something about those runners. They're taught a specific part of that run, and that is when you get to the tape, what do? Both of those, you lean into it, but you run through it. You don't set it as the tape being it. You got to look past the tape. My race is done when I get to that point there, and when you get. So hear me now when I'm saying to you, listen to me, when I'm talking about the power of unified perseverance, and this ties into the incredible, I believe, life-changing message for many of us that Pastor Deborah gave years ago on force multipliers. See, that's where we're at. Here's one of the keys, though. I need you to know, when I started down this track, believing God said, this is what I have for you, I wasn't just looking at you. That's why I could talk about those numbers. Because I wasn't just looking here. My eyes scan the country. My eyes scan countries. Who do I know here? Who do I know here? Who do I know here? Because God has a way of using everybody, unifying everyone and anyone who's a part of getting you across the finish line.
But you rarely, the guy, listen to me, the guy who slows up because he's at the finish line is the guy that loses. It's the guy who, when he sees the finish line, we were flying back last night, and there's these two little kids sitting in front of us with their dad and mom, and these kids were live the whole time. And you could, but when we got ready to take off, you heard one say, "Punch it! Punch it!" And he just kept saying, "Punch it." I'm like, "Where do you get that from?" He just kept saying, "Punch it." And then, when we got ready to land, and you know how the plane's coming in, he went, "Punch it!" And so I asked his dad, I said, "What's he been watching? Where did he get that from?" And he said some show in it where the guy says, "Punch it," which means, like, you know, take off, accelerate. The guy who wins is the guy that when he sees the finish line, he punches it. He's like, "This is it." And what I'm saying to you, hear me first. For you personally, the reason why we're walking this faith out in real time is because, listen, y'all, this is the punch. This is the push. But it's not just for us collectively. It's for you as well, personally. Because some of the things you are waiting on is because you didn't punch it. You can get right to it and slow down. You can get right to it and an obstacle get in your way, and right then it stops you. So let me give you one more example and then we're done. I'm talking about the power of unified perseverance. Luke 5, verse 17. It says this: one day he, Jesus, was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. It says, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform miracles. Now, I like that. I like how that reads, because see, that's what we're endeavoring to do, is come in here and create an atmosphere conducive for God to move. Some of you will remember in our previous location, we had something that was across the top of the wall when you came into the sanctuary area. Anybody remember that? I had written and put up there. Nobody remembers it. Okay. God bless you. Okay. So we're going to get it on the new, we're going to get it in this new place. Listen, there's going to be so many placards and so many things on the walls in this new facility. I'm talking about modern looking, okay, contemporary looking. And when you come in, you know how you go into some of those places and you see the acrylic kind of things that have something written on it, you know, up there, it's going to be like that. But this has been one of our sayings for years: where there is expectation, you will find anticipation. Where there is anticipation and faith, it produces an atmosphere conducive for miracles. Come on, y'all. See, that's what we're going to have the opportunity to steward, y'all. Yes, you do. And so, there's this atmosphere that's conducive. It says, and some men, now listen, look at this. I love this. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were trying to bring them in. To set him down in front of him. But there was no handicap ramp. There wasn't something set up for those kinds of people. There wasn't a conventional, they couldn't do it the conventional way. Say conventional. Conventional way is following accepted customs and priorities, conforming with accepted standards. They couldn't do it the conventional way. So they're faced with having to make a choice. Do we just say, "Hey, buddy, we tried. you know, if they just had a bigger door, if they just, if there, you know, we tried. So, you know, maybe on his way out. You see, faith, living faith in real time. You can go about it the conventional way, and there's nothing wrong with the conventional way, except when the conventional way isn't working. We started out this process in very conventional ways, and there's what's called the conventional loans and those kind of things. But we started out in a conventional way, and it wasn't working. They were carrying him on a bed. He was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of him. But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went home. That ain't what it says? Hold up. I was looking at this on the plane. I must have missed something. Hold on. Oh, I see it. They went up on the roof. They got up on the roof and let him down through the tiles. Now listen, that means... See, when I'm talking about the power of perseverance, unified perseverance, these guys said, look, we done brought him this far. I don't know about you, my back is hurting. I ain't carrying him back. He's going to have to walk, so we got to get him in here some kind of way. Got any ideas? Yeah, we're going to climb up on this roof. We're going to break open these tiles. We're going to hoist him up there and drop him down right in the middle of this thing. They moved from the conventional to the unconventional. And what I'm saying to all of us, faith in real time, God is moving in unconventional ways. And the thing is, you've got to allow yourself, hear me now, you've got to allow yourself to find the place of peace and stability in the place of the unconventional, because often the unconventional looks like it's not going to come together. It looks like it's not working, or things are all over the place. And many times, that's exactly where our lives are. But if you... if you can find that place, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. If you can find that place, I've been listening to that every morning I get up, the whole psalm. And then go to Psalms 23 and then Psalms 27. Then I go over to Isaiah that talks about how great he is. And I ended up where he says, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will walk and not be weary. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. The power of unified perseverance. And so as I sent the email out and I contacted my bishop and things are moving, some of you have often even responded. And I'm telling you, God is doing this for us. He's doing it for those who we are going to reach. And just like these men, this must be our posture. But not finding any conventional way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Jesus didn't say, "What are you doing? You're breaking up my you're interrupting what I'm doing." He needed to get in line like everybody else. This isn't about a prayer line.
God wants to move in unconventional ways, y'all. We don't wait to a certain point to baptize. We don't wait to a certain point to pray or at the end of the service. No, when God, listen to me, because where we're moving into is going to be more of the unconventional than the conventional stuff that we've been used to. And there will be those who will come in service that some will look at as a disturbance. Don't think for one moment that those Sadducees and Pharisees, those religious and pious folks sitting there, when they looked up and saw the tiles starting to fall off the ceiling, come down from the ceiling, and then let alone a guy gets dropped down on a stretcher, that they're not looking around thinking, what is this? But that's not what Jesus says. It says this, seeing their faith. Faith in real time. Faith in real time. Living faith in real time. I need to tell you something. God is moved when he sees you walking out your faith. It compels him. It draws and places a demand on him. I must respond because their faith is in action. And when they dropped him down, that's why, hear me, that's why you can't stop even if you see the finish line. You can't slow up even if you see the finish line. You got to press your way, push your way. Because there's a good chance the moment you break stride, the moment you decrease in your momentum, could give way to something. But if you can see it, see the finish line, I see it. And the closer you get to it, you make up your mind, you're going to run faster. You're going to run harder. You're going to press into this like never before. Let me tell you something. Anything that gets in your way will get knocked out of the way at that momentum, at that pace, and at that speed. Seeing their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. The scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk. But so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home. Immediately, he got up before them. I love that visual. It's as if. Come here, Chris, Kelvin, Jerron. Come here. These are the guys that were carrying him. I can imagine. Stand right here. Just all three of y'all. Yeah, just stand right there. Right here. Yeah. They stand in there because they done brought him in. I can imagine it's like Jesus said, okay, see y'all playing. So here's what I'm going to do for you. To prove to you that the Son of Man has authority, hey, get up, take your bed, and walk up out of here. And I can imagine he got up, went over to his boys, dapped him. Thanks, guys, and rolled on out of there like, hey, we did it. But what happened for him? would not have happened without unified perseverance. See, it doesn't say one of them said, look, man, I'm tired. Y'all, if y'all can get him up on the roof, God bless you. Maybe he can get, I'm out of here. It says they got him up on that roof. They tore up the tiles. They dropped him down in the middle of that. And Jesus said, look at that faith right there. Your sins have been forgiven. And he's messing with the Pharisees when he does that, the Sadducees. But then he says, okay, let me take this a little further, just so we're real clear on this. He says, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. Immediately, before them, he picked it up. He had been laying on and went home glorifying God. And then it says this, and they were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God. And they were filled with fear. Say reverence. Reverential fear. We have seen remarkable things today. Church, this is what God is doing for us right now.